11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold live in Las Vegas, hanging out at Stadium Swim, which is inside Circa Resort and Casino. Going to be a fun few days getting set for Chiefs and Raiders. Hope to see you guys out here for our happy hour event tomorrow night at the Overhang Bar. Chance to win some tickets to the game. Obviously, just RSVP. You get a free drink simply for RSVPing. It's that easy. So if you're going to be out here already for the weekend, hopefully you're staying at Circa. But even if you're not, swing by Circa. Say hello over the next couple of days. Even today, if you're already in town earlier, you know some people that are out here. We are going to be poolside for much of the day outside Stadium Swim. If you want an RSVP link for the party, though, just shoot us a text, as always, over to 913-586-7965, and Cody or I will send over a link so you can RSVP for the party, and hope to see you guys there this weekend. One other thing, though, on the Sky Moore IR stint now, and for those just joining us in the last 15 minutes or so, Sky Moore placed on the IR with a core muscle injury to make room, I guess, for DeAndre Hopkins to a certain extent, but also because of that, doesn't that go back to what we led the show with one of our first conversations today, which is like, should they trade?
Wide receiver,
should
yeah.
they trade for another receiver?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, because you can upgrade from Justin Ross. I've already told you the back end of the wide receiver room. Why would you keep it weaker if, for a small price, let's say one of the seventh round picks, you got a couple of the seventh round picks, whatever, or a pick swap, or a million other things you can do to strengthen that, or at least add competition to it? Some of it might depend, Gold, on how likely they think it is that they're getting Hollywood Brown back. Andy Reid maybe is feeling more optimistic.
True.
Yesterday he came on this airway and said, maybe even a little ahead of schedule, right? Maybe that changes the calculus a little bit for the Chiefs internally. But they don't have, like, the only upside wide receiver on the entire roster is Xavier Worthy. Everyone else is just who they are. Like, just 100% who they've always been.
Right.
No question. Like, we can't, like, there's no mystery to the type that they are. Xavier Worthy is the only one who, from now until the end of the season, can improve. Everyone else can just be the same. And so, if that's the case, why wouldn't you look for someone who can improve? Like, and this isn't even a knock on Justin Ross, but there are young receivers in which I think, even if they can improve, their floor has been higher than Justin Ross's at this point. A player, and that's who just we're assuming they're going to elevate. A player has 53 career yards. Okay, let's call it Nico Remigio. He doesn't have any more than that.
Right.
Like, that's a receiver on your roster. Yeah, I'd probably be looking for an upgrade.
I think this news makes it even more likely that they go out and see still what is available for someone in those late round picks to go and bring some more depth. Because let's be real, IR stint for Sky Moore, yeah, he could come back, but as we just got done talking about in the last segment, he has been irrelevant to this team. The one time he got a chance to catch a pass, he dropped it. The one time in the last month he's been able to help this team in that regard, I know they would argue, oh, well, he does other he's not productive. He's a non-factor for this organization. So him going into IR doesn't change anything other than maybe they still are down a receiver depth-wise, unless they think they can't upgrade based on compensation from a Justin Ross. And if someone asked on the text line, has Ross been elevated? He has not yet, but I know I think Bink sent out something on or said it last night on his show about Justin Ross and the likelihood of maybe him getting elevated too. And that's the expectation for most people, is that Justin Ross would be elevated for Sunday's game here in Las Vegas. We'll talk more about this. We'll take your text, phone calls on it as well throughout the show. But here in Vegas on Sunday, the Chiefs return to the side of their Super Bowl championship. They got to celebrate and pop the champagne in that locker room. It's an all-time moment to be able to do that in this stadium when your division rival obviously has not tasted postseason success at all. You've got more playoff wins in their building than they do, all that kind of
couple
stuff.
More wins in their building than they do.
No question. But remember training camp, we were up in St. Joe, and we couldn't believe the audio that came out of Raiders training camp. Drew, I'm sure we have it. This was Jack Jones, I believe, was the player for the Raiders up at training camp, who decided it was a good idea to grab a Kermit the Frog that was turned into Mahomes' hair, basically, at camp.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Yeah!
It's one of the more ridiculous pieces of audio.
I'm here.
One of the more ridiculous pieces of audio. And now we've arrived to the week we were all looking forward to in August. I remember we were all sitting there saying, oh, man, I can't wait. Mahomes had comments after.
He said, it'll get handled when it gets handled. Mm-hmm. He said it like he was John Wick.
And we had,
dude, he said it like he was a villain in an action movie.
And I think it was Karloftis, right? We had on at camp.
Yeah.
And we asked him about it. And he's like, oh, I'm not worried about it. He's like November, whatever, the date will
be. He gave the exact date. October 28th.
I'm like, oh, you know the dates. He goes, oh, yeah, we know the dates. So I can't wait. They're ready. They're ready for that on Sunday. Not that they need more motivation for
– They added more motivation yesterday. Did you not see? It continues, man. It continues.
Listen to this. Yeah, listen to this.
Nah, I ain't intimidated by him. I don't think nobody in this locker room intimidated by him. I mean, it's good players all across the league. He a good player. So, you know, we see guys every week. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we focus on us more than we are about him. You know what I'm saying?
Is there anything to that you think on the Chiefs end that they're coming in with a little something extra in the tank?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, get back. I mean, the video that we had at the beginning of the year, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a lot to go into it, but I mean, not like we finna back down and turn it down. We gonna, you know, step up and do what we gotta do and do what's necessary to try to come out victorious.
How do you guys kind of match up to that then? If they got something extra, how do you guys bring something extra?
Yeah, we be more extra than them. As simple as that, you know? We gonna match the energy and then add some energy.
Okay. I'm not intimidated by him. I don't think anyone's intimidated by him. This is just, like, I just...
I'm fine with that comment. I think it's just coupled with the other stuff. I think it's normal, though, right? I mean, for an athlete to say, we're not going to be intimidated by anybody. We believe we can win. Like, that's normal stuff. I don't have a problem with that. Again, there's extremes. That's normal. Saying that you're the best team in a conference in which has been dominated with back-to-back championships, that's stupid. Putting on a Kermit the Frog thing at camp, that's stupid. Just saying that you're not going to back down, I have no problem with that comment.
The in part of it, maybe not, but it's all just backed in the same thing. Your team stinks. They beat your ass every time. You couldn't help but make a joke with a puppet. Mahomes said, oh, it will get handled in a way in which not – like, Mahomes, you can tell when he locks in, right? He's a pretty affable dude, pretty chill, right, for the most part. And then when you see him get on the field and the hyper-competitiveness kicks in, like, and we all have people like that in our lives, and I, you know, like, even I can be like that sometimes, right? In a group where you're like, I should probably rein it in a little bit rather than let the competitiveness take over. But when he does that, it's like, it'll get handled when it gets handled is just, like, why? Why would you give him any more ammunition at all? And that's what you did with that comment yesterday. Between that comment and what happened on Christmas Day, other than, like, teams in which they know they're competing for championships against, right? Like, when they got to get up for the Bills or the Ravens or the Texans or these other really great teams. I can't imagine a team on their schedule they are more motivated to kill than the Raiders. Ruins your Christmas. Puts you in a bad mood. That's part of, like, where the regular season wasn't fun stuff. Starts making fun of you for being Kermit the Frog. Like, there's just, it's too much ammunition to not assume that Patrick Mahomes is coming in there to destroy worlds.
And you're also undefeated, so there's always going to be that. Like, you're trying to stay perfect, and there's a renewed energy level, too, anytime you bring in a player to a team. Like, you got to have an extra pep in your step if you're anybody on the Chiefs organization when DeAndre Hopkins shows up in your locker room. You're like, okay. That also has to. I guarantee you, there are guys in that locker room, offense or defense, that they're excited to see what DeAndre Hopkins looks like in a Chiefs uniform, just like we all are too. You know, so I think that all contributes to it. It's a big reason also why the Chiefs are 9.5, 10-point favorites in this game, because the Raiders in general aren't a very good team, and you know their quarterback situation is Gardner Minshew. They of course traded Devontae Adams not too long ago. I mean, their best weapon is Brock Bowers,
but he's really good though.
I think the Christmas Day thing trumps like all of this. Like that to me was,
I agree,
that game they got embarrassed by the Raiders, and what was it, Aiden O'Connell only had the one completion or whatever
in the second half.
And I, we know here locally, not maybe with the team but fan wise that next day or 2 days later, whatever it would have been, a lot of people thought that was it. Like, okay, if they had this performance against the Raiders,
they're cooked,
they're done, they can't win. They can't win the Super Bowl and all that. And that's what we use now as reasons of, like, you can never say they can't win because they had a performance like that in their own building on Christmas in which they had nothing on offense. There was the bad turnover, that remember the fumble return for a touchdown or whatever, and that was basically it. They had nothing.
No, they didn't move the ball. They weren't particularly – I mean, they were fine on defense, I guess. Again, they only allowed a completion in the second half of the football game. But you know this is. Sometimes it still just goes the other direction. They are going to be incredibly motivated to do this. Goal 2 years in a row. I think we had the preseason conversation. You were like, don't put money on Christians to win defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Defensive tackles don't win defensive player of the year. With Aiden Hutchinson out, and I know that this is like, but with Aiden Hutchinson now out for the season, the guy who was probably going to win the award, let's just be honest, right? 5-6 weeks into the season. Are we officially in Chris Jones could win defensive player of the year territory? Because he is, and I think everyone generally agrees right now, the most dominant defensive player currently playing in the NFL. He's on pace to be a double-digit sack guy, not a 20-sack guy, I understand that, not a 15-sack guy right now. He's on pace to be about an 11-sack player. But if you look at the defensive player of the year odds, it's close, and he's in the conversation versus before this season where he might have been 50-60-1. He's closer to 10-1 now.
Yeah, he was way down the line for defensive player. I think maybe 20-something is where,
okay,
where he was preseason, but your point is still correct. Look at where things stand now. We know this is a market that fluctuates. And, yeah, there's a gap definitely between him and the favorite, but he has the second-best odds at FanDuel, here at Circa as well. T.J. Watt, plus 160. In Pittsburgh, we know that dominant defense. They're winning because of defense there. I think Watt has 4.5 sacks. Chris Jones is 6-1. Will Anderson down in Houston, 6-1. Dexter Lawrence with the Giants, 9-1. And then there's a whole other group. So Chris Jones
is one of four players who seems to have a realistic chance right now to win the award.
This is the best shot he's had to win the award. Other years there have been some guys that have gone off for 18, 19 sacks, and you're like, okay, you're just not competing with that. Now, maybe T.J. Watt's going to rattle off a ton of sacks, but...
But so could Chris Jones by that argument, you know?
Sure, but I would... T.J. Watt has a track record of having multiple years of 16-plus sacks, I believe,
sure,
right? And Chris has the 115 and a half
sack season. He's got some other... double-digit sacks all the time.
Sure. But. No, he's got a chance to win it. It goes back to our conversation about all these awards, if the team is going to be chasing perfect history, too. You know, like if they're going to have a chance to go ahead and actually make some history, that will help his case. Is he a defensive player on a team that is searching for 17-0? That's also going to elevate his case. Do the Steelers fall off? Are they still in first in their division? That all factors into this award as well if they're going to be close on their numbers. I was looking it up because I was just curious for the career stuff for T.J. Watt. He had 19 last year. He had 22.5 3 years ago, 15 sacks. So he's had three seasons of 15 or more. That's the difference. If T.J. Watt's going to have another 16-plus sack season, I think it's very challenging because that's not a number that Chris Jones typically gets to.
I guess, yeah, but do MVP or, I guess in this case, Defensive Player of the Year voters are the same kind of people. They know nuance, right? They know that T.J. Watt, it's not like, it's not apples to apples. They don't play the same position. That it's almost like being like, well, that linebacker doesn't have 17 sacks. You're like, well, he's not. Like,
I think voters are
they
lazy.
They don't, you know, like,
Cody,
safety doesn't have 17 sacks. He's not supposed to. He's a safety.
Yeah, I think voters are lazy. Like, I don't think they're going to look at it the way you would go and say, hey, there's nuance. You're right. We all know
Christian has 2 15-and-a-half sack seasons. So, I mean, okay, he's not like, you know, but obviously T.J. Watt's got more.
But what you're saying, like, the nuance, I don't think voters have that.
You're right
that if we watch him play, he's clearly dominant. But I think a lot of voters, yes, are lazy. They're gonna look at, first and foremost, they're going to look at the sack numbers. Are they close? If T.J. Watt has 5 more sacks than Chris Jones, I think that could be a devastating blow. If they're within 2 of each other, then I think some of the nuance might matter. You know, I just think it's really challenging for that award for people not to go and lean heavily on the sack numbers. I was trying to pull up the history of the award to find out, like, what were the sack numbers of guys that won Defensive Player of the Year, you know, the last couple of years. And does that give us a little clue, you know?
The problem is the couple of – Aaron Donald won it, like, 18 freaking times.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be skewed a little bit because, as you know, he had a bunch of sacks. Last year it was Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, T.J. Watt. Aaron Donald won it 3 times in 4 years between 17 and 2020, so certainly people can win it in there.
So Myles
J.J.
Garrett.
Watt won it 3 times in 4 years between 2012 and 2015. He was a massive sack guy. The last guy to not win it is a primary pass rusher, as in, like, you know, Aaron Donald, big numbers. Like that was a safety. It wasn't even like a defensive pass rusher.
Yeah. Miles Garrett last year only had 14 sacks, and he was, you know, everybody's clear-cut defensive player of the year. And that was on a Browns team, though, that was truly led by their defense. I know we think the Chiefs are led by their defense, and they are, but
that's the only way they
Joe Flacco was the quarterback for much of the stretch down the season. So it's not I'm not saying Chris Jones can't win it if he gets 14 sacks, but I can't remember who got second-place votes and what was their sack total last year. But the sack numbers are going to have to be there in some regard. Like, Chris Jones, I don't think he has any chance to win, Cody, if he finishes with, like, 10.5 sacks. I don't think he can win it. If he has 10.5 sacks.
T.J. Watt finished second. He had 19. He had 5 more sacks.
Okay.
And
so
finished second.
You can't have the 15-19.
That's your argument right there. That's the argument right there. But last year, everybody viewed the Browns as clearly the best defense in football, not like how we talk about it here.
No, but I will say, nationally, the Chiefs' defense has far more. You know, you talked about, like, it's easier to win the MVP. Like Bobby Wood Jr., it's easier for him to win the American League MVP now that he is a person who is considered an MVP. The Chiefs' defense is now in year two of being dominating, right? Everybody is now crediting their defense for a lot of their success over the last season and a half, and Chris Jones is the damn face of that. And so those things will help him. Being on a team that wins 15 games, that'll help him. Like, I think it's a real possibility. I don't know. I mean, I guess right now T.J. Watt's the favorite, and that feels right to me. But I think Chris Jones has got as good a chance outside of him to win the award this year, and I think deservingly so. He is a dominant player. He moves worlds defensively. I think he should get more conversation.
He's got a great chance to win. I'm just saying that I'm not telling you he can't win. I just don't believe he can win if the numbers aren't going to be there and the Chiefs aren't winning. It's just going to, you know, as of right this second, not even just because of the odds, as of right this second, Chris Jones would not win Defensive Player of the Year. He's got some work to do.
I have a question. I don't think he's going to win. There's only been 5 defensive backs since 2000 in this century who have won the award. But
You said backs, sorry.
And they're all Aaron Donald.
There's only 5 defensive backs who have won the award, is what I'm saying, Defensive Player of the Year, since 2000. I think
Why does that matter? Chris Jones doesn't play defensive back.
I know, but I'm introducing a new player in the conversation because we're talking about dominance at the position. I know the stats don't come with it, but if you watch the games, is there a more player that's dominant pound for pound in their position than what Trent McDuffie has been? I know he's not going to win the award, and DBs don't get the award. Again, only 5 in this century. But
yeah, you got to have an insane number of picks.
If you watch the games, like, I think you can make a case that pound for pound, Trent McDuffie is as dominant at his position as T.J. Watt or Chris Jones are at their respective positions. But, again, it's a DB. DBs don't win unless you have the picks, which he doesn't have the picks either.
I mean, it's the same thing we talk about in MVP. There's some amazing years from wide receivers. Wide receivers don't win MVP.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cooper Kupp had 2,000 yards. He didn't win it.
It's just, unfortunately, the way the award goes. I was actually curious just to see if he was even on the board, Drew. Did you see if his name was on there?
No. I just went and I looked.
400-1.
I was going to say, because Trent McDuffie, I know, has been so good. I was like, how many DBs have won? The last DB to win was Stephon Gilmore.
Probably 200-1 if you got like 3 picks on something.
The last DB to win was Stephon Gilmore in 2019, but there's only been 5 since 2000, and those were Ed Reed, Bob Sanders, Charles Woodson, and Troy Polamalu.
Justin Reed has better odds, 300-1 to win it.
Really?
George Karloftis has. Nick Bolton has better odds to win it. Like,
Nick just Bolton?
Justin Watson has more odds to win. Man, I'm surprised by that.
No, Justin Reed.
All right, but still.
Yeah.
That was what I meant.
That's crazy.
No respect,
though,
for sure.
No respect.
We'll see where the odds go. No, Chris Jones has a shot to do it. I just think he has some work to do with, unfortunately, how voters – I'll call them lazy. I think they're lazy when they take a look at some of this stuff. All right,
say it to their face.
Let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one's in the New York Post. Saw this as we were flying yesterday. I was like, oh, this is – I'm glad we're not – on this particular flight. Saw this midair yesterday. Spirit plane passenger, and I'm flying Spirit back on Sunday.
Ooh.
You're risking this again? If you're not here on the show on Monday, I'm going to be so annoyed.
Well, I'm taking the same flight you and I took back for the Super Bowl. A red eye, 11:15, right after the Chiefs game. Won't be quite as late, obviously, because of the Chiefs games in the afternoon versus the Super Bowl.
Or as raucous.
But here, I bring this up because passengers were freaking out, not because there were snakes on a plane. No. Appeared to be a rat running above an overhead bin
on a Spirit Airlines flight from Dallas to L.A. There's video, and it sure looks like some furry critter like running through the light, like the lights at the top. I mean, look at this photo. I obviously, for those you have to Google it to find it for Cody's reference. I mean, that looks like a rat, does it not?
Yes.
And
yeah, like the giant,
it went viral
like
on
the ooze
on TikTok.
I'll just be honest. That would convince me to never fly Spirit ever again in the rest of my life. If I was on that flight,
I'm
for sure,
you,
but
Cody,
maybe
I'm
not even not being on that flight.
I'm with
if they
you.
Got rats crawling through the planes, we got problems.
I mean, last month, a mouse, I guess, was on a Scandinavian Airlines flight that forced the jet to make an emergency landing in Denmark because they have a policy that prohibits rodents on flights because they could bite the electrical wiring. That's the real
and Spirit
concern.
Spirit doesn't?
yeah, that's Spirit's a good like, question. Yeah.
You know what? One engine down because of the rat. Right. We're probably fine.
Jeez.
So, I'll admit, when I get on that plane Sunday night,
checking for rats?
I will definitely be looking at the lights more than I ever would before. Just in case.
Oh, my
just
gosh.
In case. But what am I going to do? Like, here's the thing. If we're 30,000 feet in the air, what the hell am I going to do? I mean, honestly, other than get video of it, we'll joke about it on the show, tell them, they're not going to land. Honestly, I don't even want them to land the plane. I'm like, get me the hell home. It's already 2 in the morning. Let's go.
I don't
want
to fly anymore.
I just
need
an emergency landing.
But when you
in
get there, you're like, hey, there's a rat. Get it out.
Yeah.
That would be the most frustrating thing, to have to make an emergency landing in Albuquerque in addition to it.
Well, then I would definitely not make the show Monday if that happened.
At least you'd have a good reason. Rats on the plane, you know?
We don't have any affiliates in Albuquerque, New Mexico, do
you sure?
I don't know. Do we?
Let's
maybe
look.
You could go visit the Walter White House.
Oh, yeah. Might as well. Might as well.
They got fences over that, man. Yeah. That person who bought it really probably.
Well, what do they expect? What do they expect?
Like, no offense, just don't buy that house unless you're anticipating people wanting to come by it. Throw a pizza on the roof.
Someone says that I can't look around on the flight. I'd ruin the raw dog streak. That's true.
Yeah. I was going to say, did you guys raw dog the flights?
I did not raw dog the flight. No, I had AirPods in. I watched, you guys remember, Drew, I don't know if you were our producer at the time, but our listeners might remember, we were fascinated by the story 2 or 3 years ago of the inmate in Alabama that escaped with the help of the corrections officer. Remember that case? Casey White, Vicky White.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting caught up in, like, Tennessee or something, or in Evansville, Indiana.
In their sex cabin.
And there's the motel, and they were, yeah, there were sex toys or whatever. But she died in a car crash.
Oh, that's right.
And the prisoner survived, of course. And he was serving life in prison anyway. But we were all, like, everybody was fascinated. For, like, 10 days, they had no clue where they were. Like, did they go to Mexico? Anyway, that was the documentary I watched on the flight.
What'd you learn?
It just brought back some memories from us on the show.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that craziness. They were stupid and bought a bright red Ford Edge, and they had to ditch that car because, like, what are you doing?
Too obvious. You got to get, like, a Corolla.
Yes.
A beige Corolla. What are you doing?
Corolla, yeah. So everybody drives white cars now.
A white Kia, actually, Drew, I think is what they need to get.
Yeah. Well, by the way, if you did land in Albuquerque, you would have a potential option.
Oh, yeah?
We do have a sister station out there.
All right.
Perfect.
Multiple
well, that's
stations,
good to know.
But there is a sports one out there.
It's good to do. I'm going to map out every major city that the plane might fly over just in case we have to stop.
Smart.
And already coordinate with their program directors.
Smart.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, we get to the Chiefs Run half hour, and let's talk more about Travis Kelce. I think this will be a fun conversation about the rest of his season and what's the rest of DeAndre Hopkins' season look like. We'll do that next here on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Coming up in about a half hour, we'll be joined by Danion Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, of course, part of the Chiefs radio network. He'll be in Vegas. I think he flies in with the team Saturday afternoon. They'll be on the call right here on 96.5, The Fan. It'll be Mitch, Danion, Kling, Dan Israel getting you set for the Chiefs and Raiders on Sunday. We're already out in Las Vegas. We're warming things up for all the Chiefs fans that are coming out here a little bit later on in the week. Some of you may be coming in tomorrow for our happy hour party here at Circa. But we're poolside today, starting to warm up out there. The sun's out now. Now it might be sunglasses time.
You going to get sunscreen on?
I think I'm good inside the cabana.
I could feel that sun a little bit when I stepped outside.
Oh.
You and I made the mistake of not packing sunscreen the last time.
But we're in the cabana. The sun's not really hitting us here. Now, you walk right out there. Oh, yeah. When I go actually in the pool a little bit later, definitely going to have to. Definitely going to have to. Maybe tomorrow during the show I'll go in the pool at some point, but not today.
Did you bring a hat?
I'm not a hat guy.
Dude, in the pool, though, in the sun, it's a completely different conversation.
I'm not a hat guy.
You wear a hat at the lake?
Sometimes, but not really.
Man, that's crazy.
What hats do you wear when you wear? Are you like a normal hat or are you like a bucket hat?
I've never worn a bucket hat in my life.
Okay. I didn't know.
I don't own a bucket hat. I'm not anti-bucket hat. I had like a big straw hat that I'd wear at the lake sometimes.
You say
from, like,
I need to
Miller Lite. That was pretty good.
Go down to Fremont Street and buy
a cheap hat.
You
want wrinkles, dude? This is about, what do you think? Yeah. You think they're just like, I don't want wrinkles all over my face. That's what it is.
Do I? But I'm yeah.
I just don't like my scalp getting burned.
What? Oh, and I enjoy it?
Well, that's why I think you should wear a hat.
My scalp's not going to get that burned.
I brought my 96.5 The Fan hat.
Well, that's the other thing. I'll be honest. I didn't want you and I both just chilling poolside wearing the same hat. That's very cute of us to just sit there.
I own a number of hats. I could have brought a different one if you wanted. We could have coordinated.
I'll have to go buy a hat, all right? You know?
You know, Chad, I still have for the Cutting Gold Garage Sale? The Circa Millions contest hat.
Oh.
The $1,000 hat.
I would have liked
sitting at home.
That.
I need to... I got to bring it in.
I might have to go to...
For the Cutting Gold Garage Show.
On Fremont, there's some, you know, there's cheap shops or whatever that have random souvenir stuff. I'll go buy a $7 hat that'll work for the trip.
Careful, you might see nudity out there, you know?
Yeah, I got to be real careful. I know, I'm really scared of that. I got to be really, really careful. What's up, Drew? Drew, the great story I always tell people from you when you were in Vegas. We were at, I think, Binion's, right? And there was just a bar we were at. We were eating dinner.
Yeah, it was like a dinner spot that overlooks.
It wasn't even that late at night. It was, what, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, it was something like that.
We're sitting there having food, and Drew, because you had never been to Vegas or on Fremont, sorry.
Correct.
And we're sitting there, and Drew's like, hey, look, guys, look. We're like, what? And he points at the nun.
Yeah.
And anybody that's been to Fremont Street knows that there's a nun that, you know, has a...
She's topless.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
I don't know. It seemed like you were really...
I was struggling.
I feel like whatever you were going to say was not going to be good.
I was going to say...
I don't know how you were going to say it, but
that was my struggle. I was trying to come up with the right... I was trying to make sure the word I could use.
Yes.
I feel like that's... Her boobs were out, all right? So,
topless is such a less weird way to say that.
Anyway. But yes.
That might be how Drew said it, though.
I can't... Yeah, Drew, you tell me.
I don't remember, but I was... Like, I was like, really? I did not know that was a thing.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
And then Drew went up after dinner and tipped her and got a picture with her, hugged her. It was crazy.
Mm. I think fresh after that, we might have gone and I won the, I bet the 13 Taylor Swift.
I somehow do have a photo of one person who covers the Chiefs being like pretend handcuffed by one of the police officer.
Excuse me?
I'm just
Someone that covers the... Hold on. Someone that's actively on the beat?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't have to put their business on the street.
How did you find out?
I'm just saying... I took the photo. What do you mean?
Oh, I know who it is then.
I took the photo.
You just narrowed it down.
I was going to say,
Before everyone starts to figure it out. We were talking Travis Kelce early because he doesn't look the same. We were talking DeAndre Hopkins earlier. If you missed the news, he is official a Chief. It doesn't, you know, that stuff's all paperwork related. But he is a Kansas City Chief. People would expect he will play on Sunday against the Raiders. I asked you a simple question before the show, and I want an answer from you, Drew, the text line, 913-586-7965. Who will have more receiving yardage the rest of the season for this team, Travis Kelce or DeAndre Hopkins? I think it's a close race for what it's worth.
DeAndre Hopkins is the answer. I think it's D-Hop because of the actual target share. That's why it's going to be D-Hop. The targets that we expect, I know you and I differ on the full extent of, is he going to have 10 targets? No, I still don't think that. But we've been watching these games so far, and if Travis Kelce really is just playing a different role right now with this team, I could see DeAndre Hopkins being that guy. The way it's the opposite if you just buy that, hey, Travis has been held back because there's no other guys, and DeAndre Hopkins is going to open everything up, and everybody's going to focus on him, and suddenly Travis Kelce is going to be open. I don't know if that's happening right away, and so to me, D-Hop is just going to get way more targets to start this thing.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on the targets to start. I'll still take Travis Kelce. It might be because I'm too bullish on Travis Kelce across the way, but man, it's going to take him a few weeks to get used to each other, isn't it? Like, I think that the problem is that Travis Kelce is going to be the leader of this for a month, and then for the final 8 weeks of the season, this might be a closer, more contested race.
Noah Gray's out here getting, I mean, it's one game,
Noah Gray's gotten his fair share.
I mean, target-wise for... for Travis Kelce. He had five targets.
That's low.
5, 10, 9, and 5 is the last four games for Travis Kelce.
So an average of 7?
D-Hop can't get 5 targets? You know what I mean? Like,
but that's 7 really on average, right? I mean,
yes,
roughly?
He had 10 against New Orleans. That was the game in which everything was open. And it's like...
Yeah, everybody was open all the time. Yes, I do think D-Hop can get 5 to 7 targets. I actually think they're going to get a similar number of targets. So logically, I should be like, well, then choose the wide receiver, more likely to be down the field and deep in those things. I actually think this is going to be a really close race. I would kind of anticipate both of these guys getting in the 550 to 600 range the rest of the way. Because I told you I still think Travis Kelce's a 850, 900-yard receiver. That'd put him about 600 the rest of the way. And DeAndre Hopkins the same. That's about 50 yards a game. That feels right to me for both players. Which is by it's good that we're asking this question, because if I had asked this question about any other wide receiver for a while.
Oh,
Like if I said who has more the rest of the way, Travis Kelce or Xavier Worthy, your answer is Kelce, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, kind of has to be. Any other wide receiver is not even worth the conversation.
Yeah, and I know Worthy can get 70 just like that, but also that seems like the only way it's going to happen. He would have to start connecting on some of those. He's not getting the target share in order to get that yardage. I mean, Travis Kelce right now, if we're just going off of yards, 245 on 28 catches. What's Noah Gray have right now? I mean, like, you're asking me about Travis Kelce or DeAndre Hopkins. What's Noah Gray's statistics so far here in 2024?
He's probably got 200 yards.
185.
Okay.
14 for 185 in 6 games.
So only Travis 60 yards more. Below Travis?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm sure that Travis is finishing with more yards.
Come on. You don't have to be a hater.
I mean, he has 14 less catches than Travis, too.
It's not being a hater.
I mean, I guess in this case it could be a Noah Gray supporter. It's either you're either a Noah Gray supporter or a Travis Kelce hater if you're entering that conversation. It's one or the other.
I don't know if that's being a hater or just that's the reality of the situation. If we just had a discussion in the 10 o'clock hour today about Travis Kelce and what do we think the yardage is, he's pacing for 680 or whatever it is, and would I take the over-under on that, and I told you I'd take the under. If we think he's only finishing with 600 or something, then Noah Gray and DeAndre Hopkins are absolutely still in play. We're only in the week 8. You're telling me neither one of those guys potentially could get to the same 600-something number?
He's at 694 on pace. Noah Gray is on pace for 524.
I mean, it's not that receiving far off. Yardage.
But also, like, Noah, some of this is, like, just historic, you know? Like, Noah Gray had a 300-yard season last year, had a 300-yard season the year before, had 36 yards in his rookie year. He has gotten better. Clearly, he is on pace and will have a career year in Kansas City. That's undoubtable. That is clearly, he's barreling towards that. Unless he gets hurt, he will sky past it. He'll nearly double it, really, realistically on that end. But no, I honestly think that when the way that this looks is that he will be, I still think Travis Kelce will lead the way the rest of the way. I think it'll be close, though, between him and DeAndre Hopkins. I really do.
Also, a little bit later on today, Andrew, we'll keep an eye on this. At some point, we're supposed to hear from Andy Reid again today.
Oh, we know. Well, bonus Andy.
Correct. Yeah, normally we would not hear from him on a Thursday, but I'm guessing that's because yesterday he wasn't willing to answer any questions because the D-Hop trade wasn't finalized, so that would be nice. So it sounds like Andy Reid, Chris Jones, and DeAndre Hopkins expected to speak. So if during our show they're actually at the podium, we'll try to bring you some of that. Drew just let us know on some of the timing with that back in Kansas City, obviously, as we're on remote here today in Las Vegas. So actually, within the next couple of minutes, I'm told, we could actually hear from Andy Reid and some of the players as well. So as soon as that happens, we will go back out there to Arrowhead. Definitely want to hear from Andy now that he can actually talk about DeAndre Hopkins. Like, what is he? You were asking me for totals and yesterday predictions and all that. Let's find out from Andy.
What, like, Andy says?
Now, he still might be like, oh, well, he just got in here. We're not, you know, we think he'll play Sunday, but you know, he's not going to tell us, yeah, guys, he's going to get actually 60% of the snaps. He's going to get like 5 to 10 targets. No. But maybe he'll be like, oh, we'll have a package for him. And yeah, he knows nothing. But today he does know a lot.
You were today, dead right, yes. By the way. You had said which way he was going to fly. Airshare. Looks like private jet for D-Hop.
That was the one we were tracking yesterday.
Yeah. So
makes sense. A little executive Airshare from DeAndre
Hopkins. Are you sure? Was the tail ending 5AS? Was that the one you were tracking? Or were you tracking a bogus jet yesterday?
Let's see.
Were you giving people false information of who was flying from Nashville to Kansas City? Was there some other rich person? Who was making that transition?
What was the final number?
5AS.
This one says that the one I was tracking landed yesterday at 8 o'clock or something, 8:50.
I mean, it certainly looks dark. Does it give a tail number on
it
there?
It was late at night.
Does it give a tail number?
335. S335. I don't know.
S6.
It landed in Kansas City from Nashville, private downtown.
Seems pretty likely that that was the one.
Probably was. Anyway. Yeah.
I would just keep an eye on it as you were discussing it.
So it says, what number is D-Hop going to be? Who knows? We might find out today. You know, he can't be number 10 again. We know that Isaiah Pacheco has that.
I can't remember if he were 10 at Clemson. I don't remember.
16.
Clark Hunt's never really been giving zero away, so we assume he will continue to not give zero away. I don't remember what. There's some reason behind it, but zero's been a number they've been protective of for the most
18
part.
18 is available. Can't do 16. That's retired. Obviously not 15.
Not 8. Ryan, I mean, Justin Ross,
well,
I guess.
Just see, like a number in the 80s, you know?
No.
We don't do that anymore, all right?
Those wide receivers can still have numbers in the 80s. Some do.
Let's give them 18 and be done with it.
18? That's such a bad number.
I think it's 18.
It's the middle of the season. There's only so many numbers to go around. They have a 53-man roster, and there's a bunch of dudes hurt. So they actually have more than 50. Like, there's some guys that on the practice squad, too, and all that.
Oh, Duggan got 19. A truly terrible number, so, you know?
I think 18's available. I don't know. Doesn't really, let's be real, it doesn't matter. What number is he wearing?
Look good, play good, man. I do, I'm not even kidding.
I mean, this, I wish, I'm
joking about this number conversation because I don't care. There was real conversation from a sports radio host in this city saying that.
Just call him out. Mahomes, just call him out.
Mahomes getting number 15 was somehow going to impact us. It's a bad number. It's bad luck to have a bad number. You know, like, look good, play good, right? It's a bad number. Can't possibly be successful. No one's ever been successful with 15. Man. It's a bad decision. Turns
Someone
out.
Says 18's also retired. I don't know. Anyway.
The hell? What, are we the New York Yankees all of a sudden?
I'm not sure.
Chiefs had some rich history before Patrick Mahomes started winning all these championships. How the hell are all these numbers retired?
Someone says give him 24. Well, Sky Moore still, even though he's on IR, Sky Moore still has number 24.
You know your number, man, too. Your spot's gone, your number's gone.
Damn, you can't give his number while he's on IR. By the way, I was looking more into that. Sky Moore was at practice yesterday with zero injury designation. Woke up this morning with a core muscle injury on the exact same time they needed to put a wide receiver on the roster. Come on.
The great thing about a core muscle injury, and it happens in baseball all the time, there's really not like a
test to prove that you were lying about it?
All right. Mm. A little sore, a little whatever. I think an IR stint's going to be good for you. I think we'll give some time
to get that healed up.
Time to heal up. Take your time. Rehab. You know, take some time off.
It just comes back to the same thing. If DeAndre Hopkins, here's the truth about the Chiefs. If DeAndre Hopkins ends up being old school DeAndre Hopkins, even hell, last year DeAndre Hopkins, this team has been incredibly hard to beat with no one at wide receiver. No one. If all of a sudden they get a guy who's been a number one on a number of teams over the years, well, we're having a different conversation.
All right, let's go out to Arrowhead and hear from Andy Reid right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Or muscle injury. We had him evaluated, and he's going to need that fixed. So he will be put down there, so on IR. As far as Juju and Mike Danigo, both are making progress and so on and so forth there. So, DeAndre Hopkins, just take a few questions on that, but we're excited to have him here and join in with that receiving core. And again, he's been a proven player, and he'll work in those spots. That Juju and Rasheed did. So,
Andy, obviously he's been a good player over the years, but other than that, is there something specifically that he does well that you feel like you guys have maybe been lacking?
Well, I think not necessarily lacking, but he's a good he's a veteran player and seen just about everything over 12 years. So, and he's a good space player. So he's very good understanding how to work in space. At the same time, he's a tough matchup because of his size, arm length, big body that knows how to kind of play that low post area very well.
How about a timetable for him playing?
It could be this weekend. Yeah, we'll see how he picks up. I've got to get him on the practice field. But why wait, right? If he can handle it without putting him in a bad position.
Andy, related to that, I think Justin Reed used the term that he has a master's class in football, or that his knowledge is deep and he'll pick up things fast. Are you, how much are you already aware of that, and what will that mean in this process?
Yeah, he's a smart guy, he understands football likewise, and Justin knows him probably better than anybody, just haven't been with him for those years. That's exciting. I mean, that's a good thing. We've got a lot in right now, and we're just trying to get him acclimated with meetings here, and we'll see how things go at practice. But you can tell he's a very focused guy, and he's intelligent. So,
reasonably speaking, how many additional hours would it be for Hopkins this week? Like shorter menu? How does that process work?
Well, you start kind of from the bottom of just the snap count part of it, and work your way up through. But he's seen enough. You know, he's been around it long enough to where it's more a dialect than a language. So, yeah, that he has to learn.
Well, the last two we're going to add him and then Sam will be done.
Andy, are you done at wide receiver? The deadline's still a couple weeks away. Do you guys have anything else going there?
Only if you want to jump in, take a few reps.
Sam?
He does some stuff that maybe isn't what you guys currently have on the roster as far as planning traffic. I just wonder, is that something that you guys need to adjust to fit his skill set, or do you want him to more adjust to what you guys are already doing well?
No, listen, we do this with all players. We try to utilize their strengths and work them in to what we do. Without completely changing everything. I mean, we've got a little of everything in the offense. So, but he's similar in his in being able to his awareness in spaces Juju and Rasheed was developing into. So, and that's you know that's a good thing in this offense to be able to do.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
All right, so that was Andy Reid. You heard him give an update on Sky Moore. Says that core muscle injury that's putting him on IR will need to be fixed. That's obviously code for some sort of procedure that's going to be required. That would tell me that it is going to be more than 4 weeks potentially, just in terms of time. And I understand that we know the production hasn't been there, but it sounds like it is something that's going to require some sort of procedure. Also, he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins playing. Said we'll see, but also, like, why wait? Which is exactly right. Why wait? DeAndre Hopkins is going to play on Sunday. We don't know to what extent, but it is very true. There is no reason to wait another week to bring DeAndre Hopkins into the mix at all.
I know Andy doesn't want to like tip his cap, but come on, he's playing on Sunday.
And it sounds like from a few media members that are there at the facility, perhaps number 8, which is Justin Ross's number, so Justin Ross is going to have to change numbers, it sounds like.
If they add one more wide receiver, is Sky Moore on this roster anymore when he comes back from the IR?
No.
Okay. But
you know how this sorts
itself
out. Because
this is like, do anything. Like, this feels like the way Major League Baseball teams hand minor leaguers and options. They're just like shuffling the pieces around and never actually lose a player. They're like, we don't want Sky Moore just on the street.
But who else gets hurt?
But
there's a very good chance. There's a very good chance somebody else in the receiver room misses another game at some point. Juju eventually comes back. Does Juju have a hamstring flare up again?
They put him on the IR. No, by the way. So they don't think that hamstring issue
is good.
Longer than Sky Moore's, and they'd have placed him on IR instead of
absolutely
clearly just going to Sky Moore and be like, your core muscles hurt, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, we heard Andy say there, though, that once again, it's the second time this week that both Mike Dana and Juju Smith-Schuster are, quote, progressing well. So that's a good sign in terms of not putting him on IR, yes, but also just where things are rolling for him. I still think Juju, maybe he's back for the Bucks game. If not, get him ready for the Bills game. Make sure you have a healthy Juju for Buffalo game.
God, it's so crazy. You can look at their schedule right now and play it that way. But the Bucks don't have anybody to throw to. So unless they make a trade by 2 weeks, that game looks favorable. Denver, I guess it depends. They're salty. I'll say this. Denver's in 2 weeks, and they are salty. They're a pain in the ass for a lot of teams this year. They're not a good team. If they're in the playoffs, they're not a threat, but they are an annoyance. Annoyance teams beat good teams all the time. That's kind of their job, right? So maybe that one I would be pushing back. But, yeah, the Bills game is the one I'm actually worried about.
We are broadcasting live in Las Vegas ahead of Chiefs-Raiders on Sunday afternoon. We're at Circa Las Vegas, specifically inside Stadium Swim, their big pool club outside. I think it's now in the mid-70s, supposed to get up to around 90 today. Six pools. We're broadcasting poolside, 143-foot screen. I think we have, what is that, slap fighting on there.
Yep.
And some soccer right now. Later on today, of course, we'll get into a little bit of college I think even some college basketball might be on later on.
Well, then tonight
NBA,
NFL game.
NBA action, Thursday night football, Vikings and Rams.
College football too, yeah.
Some college football, a lot going on here.
Action
Circa.
On Thursday, maybe?
Hope to see you guys at our party tomorrow night, happy hour right here at Circa as well. If you want an RSVP link, just text in, as we've been telling you throughout the last couple of weeks, 913-586-7965. Up next, we'll get you to what's trending. We're still expecting to hear from DeAndre Hopkins himself. You won't miss that whenever he does step up to the podium. And we're also going to be talking to Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, right here on Cody and Gold.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.